Audio Renaissance presents Bait and Switch, The Futile Pursuit of the American Dream by Barbara Ehrenreich. Read for you by Anne Toomey. Introduction. Because I've written a lot about poverty, I'm used to hearing from people in scary circumstances. An eviction notice has arrived. A child has been diagnosed with a serious illness and the health insurance has run out. The car is broken down and there's no way to get to work. These are the routine emergencies that plague the chronically poor. But it struck me, starting in about 2002, that many such tales of hardship were coming from people who were once members in good standing of the middle class, college graduates and former occupants of mid-level white-collar positions. One such writer upbraided me for what she saw as my neglect of hard-working, virtuous people like herself. Try investigating people like me, who didn't have babies in high school, who made good grades, who work hard and don't kiss a lot of ass, and instead of getting promoted or paid fairly, must regress to working for $7 an hour, having their student loans in perpetual deferment, living at home with their parents, and generally exist in debt which they feel they may never get out of. Stories of white-collar downward mobility cannot be brushed off as easily as accounts of blue-collar economic woes, which the hard-hearted traditionally blame on bad choices. Failing to get a college degree, for example. Failing to postpone childbearing until acquiring a nest egg. Or failing to choose affluent parents in the first place. But distressed white-collar people cannot be accused of fecklessness of any kind. They are the ones who did everything right. They earned higher degrees, often setting aside their youthful passion for philosophy or music to suffer through dull practical majors like management or finance. In some cases, they were high achievers who ran into trouble precisely because they had risen far enough in the company for their salary to look like a tempting cost cut. They were the losers, in other words, in a classic game of bait and switch. And while blue-collar poverty has become numbingly routine, white-collar unemployment, and the poverty that often results, remains a rude finger in the face of the American dream. I realized that I knew very little about the mid to upper levels of the corporate world, having so far encountered this world almost entirely through its low-wage, entry-level representatives. I was one of them, a server in a national chain restaurant, a cleaning person, and a Walmart associate, in the course of researching an earlier book, Nickel and Dimed, on not getting by in America. Like everyone else, I've also encountered the corporate world as a consumer, dealing with people quite far down in the occupational hierarchy, retail clerks, customer service representatives, telemarketers. Of the levels where decisions are made, where the vice presidents, account executives, and regional managers dwell, my experience has been limited to seeing these sorts of people on airplanes, where they study books on leadership, fiddle with spreadsheets on their laptops, or fall asleep over biographies of the founding fathers. I'm better acquainted with the corporate functionaries of the future, many of whom I've met on my visits to college campuses, where business is the most popular major, if only because it is believed to be the safest and most lucrative. But there have been growing signs of trouble, if not outright misery, within the white-collar corporate workforce. First, starting with the economic downturn of 2001, there has been a rise in unemployment among highly credentialed and experienced people. In late 2003, when I started this project, unemployment was running at about 5.6%, but in contrast to earlier economic downturns, a sizable portion, almost 20%, or about 1.6 million of the unemployed, were white-collar professionals. Previous downturns had disproportionately hit blue-collar people. This time, it was the relative elite of professional, technical, and managerial employees who were being singled out for media sympathy. In April 2003, for example, The New York Times Magazine offered a much-discussed cover story about a former $300,000-a-year computer industry executive reduced, after 2 years of unemployment, to working as a sales associate at The Gap. Throughout the first 4 years of the 2000s, there were similar stories of the mighty, or the mere mid-level brought low, ejected from their office suites, and forced to serve behind the counter at Starbucks. Today, white-collar job insecurity is no longer a function of the business cycle, rising as the stock market falls and declining again when the numbers improve. Nor is it confined to a few volatile sectors like telecommunications or technology.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?